chapter 2 is where we're going to be looking at this morning, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. It's Proverbs 2 and verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word. We just pray your blessing on our time in the word this morning. Pray you give me the words to speak, and just pray that we would understand the truths that you want to share with us, truths that are life-giving as we make them part of our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we began to consider last week, Jesus Christ, being our great physician, he knows the issues of our hearts. He knows the struggles that we have. He knows the strongholds of sin that reside therein. He knows what is necessary to heal and to transform our hearts. That's what he wants to do. He has a work that he began in our hearts when we first trusted him as Savior. And he promises he's going to continue that work till the day of Jesus Christ. And that is his work of sanctification within us. Where justification is what happened when we first trusted him. That's when we're saved from the penalty of sin. But sanctification is that continuing work where he's now saving us from sin's power. He's transforming us into his image. And so he is our great physician. He wants to bring healing to our hearts, transformation to our hearts, make them strong, make them healthy. And for that to happen, though, we need to realize that we have to follow the prescription that he gives us as laid down in his word. It's just the same as a doctor. If a doctor said you have major heart trouble, that your life is threatened, these are the things you have to do. You have to change your diet. You have to get more exercise. You have to take this medication. Maybe you need to have a pacemaker put in. Maybe you need to have some kind of surgery to fix the problem so that you can live a life, a healthy life, that you can prolong your life and enjoy the blessings of life. And so we think of that physically speaking. Yes, I want to have my life extended. I want to have quality of life. And so I'm going to do what my doctor prescribes. And so we're willing to do that. But it's the same spiritually speaking, that the Lord often uses his word to expose to us the issues of our heart, bring conviction to our minds, that we realize this is something I have to deal with. And he doesn't just leave us there. He wants to bring us along. He gives the diagnosis. He exposes the problem so that he can then give us the solution. And we can't just say, okay, I've seen this, but I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. Rather, we need to say, yes, you have the wisdom and love that I know that it's going to help me, and so I'm going to do what you say. And so that's what we're going to be laying out over the next several weeks, is the different things God says regarding our hearts that we are called to do so that he can do his work in us. And so today, that's what we want to, considering just one of such thought, and that's this idea that we see that we need to apply our hearts to wisdom. And we see this statement made in numerous places throughout Scripture. We saw it first this morning in Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, the man of God, that speaking of how our lives are often very short. And the thing that he said was, it was really a prayer to God, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And it's a very significant thought that he gives. That a lot of times we assume that our lives will go on forever, that we have plenty of time. And that often causes us to procrastinate in really focusing in and applying our hearts to wisdom, as it says. And so that's why he wants to teach us to number our days, to realize we don't necessarily have tomorrow. We want to make the most of today. And so that's our impetus to apply our hearts to wisdom. But we see here as well in Proverbs chapter 2 that Solomon is calling upon his son to apply his heart to understanding. And this is actually a call he repeats in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 17, and also in Proverbs 23 and verse 12. And it's significant to think of that, of course, because Solomon's son was Rehoboam. And he was given this knowledge firsthand of this wisdom from his father, who we would recognize to be the wisest man that ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus himself. But yet he didn't heed it. He never actually applied it. And what a shame that is. And so it speaks to us in that way as well. But this thought of applying our hearts to wisdom or understanding, the word apply is not an uncommon word to us. We're fairly familiar with it, and we use it fairly often. So this would be just one example of how we use it, which I think really can speak to our spiritual needs. How often have we heard someone say of someone else, or maybe even of us, if we've been underachieving or someone else has been underachieving, they say, that person could do so much better if they just applied themselves. And what do we mean when we say that? We're saying that there is a tremendous potential there that fails to be realized because an individual is not willing to put in the necessary energy and attention to the task before them to ensure success. That you would think of someone that has maybe a fair bit of talent, a fair bit of knowledge, but yet doesn't want to practice their instrument, doesn't want to study for their exam. They just kind of do only as much as is necessary to get by. And yes, they might pass, but they don't excel. And we see with that it's a shame when that happens, when you see someone that could do so much better. Essentially we look at it that the individual is allowing themselves to get distracted, that they don't have the focus that they should have. And so the result is not nearly what it could be. And so we think of it in that way, that if we apply ourselves, that sometimes in school we might know of individuals that maybe were, especially once they get into college or university, that they maybe had some smarts, had some ability, had some knowledge, but because they didn't apply themselves, they didn't pass. But then you have others that maybe didn't have the same amount of smarts or knowledge, but they worked hard, and they were able to accomplish things because they applied themselves. And so applying can mean the difference between success and failure, between achievement and disappointment. And so when we think of it and we try to apply this in the sense to where we are spiritually in our walk with the Lord, would someone say of us, would they say, well, this person would be so much better of a person, so much stronger of a Christian if he or she only applied himself? And I'm sure none of us would ever want to hear that, but it's something that it raises the question in our own hearts, that we say, okay, in terms of my Christian life and my walk with the Lord, am I giving it my attention? Am I giving it my full effort? Am I seeking the Lord with all my heart? Or is it just kind of doing enough to kind of get by and to kind of make things function in life? And so we want to realize the sense that it gives here of applying our hearts to wisdom. By definition, to apply is to become focused. It's to engage and employ with attention. And so if the Bible is saying that we need to apply our hearts to wisdom, it is saying that our hearts need to be focused on and attentive to the pursuit, possession, and practical use of wisdom in our everyday life. And so we see that as it kind of continues. It really, as Solomon speaks of this, as inspired by the Lord, he's really kind of building on things, that the idea that he needs to receive his words and then hide them with him, but then incline his ear and apply his heart. But then we see, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, that it's kind of giving the picture that wisdom is going away, and the person isn't going to just quietly and meekly say, "Well, wisdom, please stay so I can listen to you." No, it's the idea where a person is raising their voice and saying, "Stop, let me catch up. I want to be with you. I want to learn from you. I need you." That there is just this desire that is consuming, that I need to seek after wisdom. I need to follow after that. And I can't be satisfied until I grab hold of it. We see further in verse number 4 this idea that we need to seek for her as silver and searches for her as for hid treasures. That it's this thought that the wisdom of God that we want to, as we apply our hearts to it, that we stop at nothing until we uncover these truths that can help us and that they can enrich our lives. That we can think throughout history that there have been many notable treasure hunters who've made it their goal and focus in life to unearth riches that have been hidden for centuries. That many of them will travel long distances, many will expend countless resources, many may even put their lives in danger in the hopes of finding these lost riches, whether it be from ancient tombs or from sunken ships. And you just can imagine for some. I remember when I was young of seeing some different programs where these individuals were diving and they found this sunken galleon, and they were searching through and they were trying to unearth things from amongst the coral and amongst all the kind of the dust on the bottom of the ocean floor, and they even had these different kind of things to suck up some of the dust and have it kind of run through a screen to see what they could find. But they're working, and sometimes they're trying to get stuff done before a storm comes, and then suddenly they're able to unearth amazing things, whether it's doubloons, whether it's a golden crucifix, or just these different things that they found, and they look at it, all that effort is paid off when they actually find that treasure, and they make a discovery, and we can think of that. It's something that even from when we're kids that we have that desire, that we imagine that there's buried treasure in our backyard somewhere, and we dig furiously to try to find something, and when we actually hit something we're excited, and usually we only find that it's like an old rusty can or something, or some part off of a farm implement or something like that was rusted and it's not worth anything. But we understand that, and for someone to be able to do that for a living, we would say, well, that would be a fun thing to be able to do. And so for someone to pursue after riches and pursue after treasure, we can understand that pursuit. We can understand even the obsession that many would have. But of course, we realize, well, the pursuit after earthly riches is never actually going to satisfy. Because riches aren't going to profit in the day of wrath. You can't take them with you when we pass from this life. But we do want to understand that just as we can think of a treasure hunter that has a real dogged determination to pursue after hid treasure, that's how we should have the same attitude, the same determination in the pursuit of God's wisdom, because it is of far more value than any riches that can be unearthed on this world. Now we read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. And so we think of that, of just what wisdom can give us, that it brings peace to our lives, that often what happens is someone that gains great riches of this world, they don't have any peace because they're afraid someone's going to steal what they've gained. But yet we can have peace when we find wisdom, that it is a tree of life, and it brings happiness, it brings joy to us. It keeps us from so much trouble. And it's the thought given back in Proverbs chapter 2, is that as we apply our hearts to wisdom, as we have this dogged determination to find wisdom, we're promised in verse 5 that it can be found, that our pursuit will be rewarded. It says, after we've done these things, if we've received the words, hidden the commandments with us, inclined our ear, applied our hearts, cried after it, seeked after it, his treasure, it says, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And he's showing us that our labors, our pursuit of wisdom will not be in vain if we're seeking it with our hearts. And if we're pursuing after, of course, as we pursue after wisdom, ultimately we're pursuing after God, who is the source of all wisdom. And we see, as it says there, verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And then it says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And it's a sense here that we have that it is as if God has great storehouses of wisdom that he has laid up, that he is has there because he wants to share it. And it's the idea that it is not, he has these great storehouses and then he only dispenses it very sparingly. That's not the way God is. That God is abundant with pretty well everything that he gives to us. And we read in James chapter 1 verse 5 these words where it says, if any of you ask wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That when we need wisdom and when we seek God for it, God doesn't just give us a few scraps. He doesn't give us a few choice words. He gives his wisdom to us liberally and abundantly. That and he wants to fill us with wisdom. He wants to enable us to discern between good and evil, discern between truth and falsehood. He wants us to have the wisdom so that we can identify temptation and snares of the devil, and we can avoid them. And so God wants to share his wisdom with us. And that's the whole thought, that he wants to give us the knowledge that we need so that we can live the Christian life and so that we can gain victory. And but we want to realize that for us to get it, we need to ask for it and we need to seek for it. And it does, we don't seek for it haphazardly. We don't seek for it half-heartedly. We seek it with focus and determination. We apply our hearts to wisdom. So you can think about it this way. If someone was to come to you and hand you a treasure map, which they have gone to great lengths to prove that it's authentic, and they say to you, I've found this, and I've checked it with everything, and there's a treasure that is worth millions of dollars, and it's buried in your backyard. What would you do if that was the case? Would you just say, would you grab the map from him, tear it up, and slam the door in his face, tell him to leave you alone? Would you say to him, oh, okay, well, if you found it, just go dig it up yourself. I don't really care about it. Would you say, well, that sounds interesting, but I'm kind of busy right now. Maybe come back a week later and we'll look at it then. No, if you found that and it's verified to be true, you would be grabbing a shovel and starting to dig. You might even make arrangements to order a backhoe to dig faster. Because if this treasure is there, you want to find it. And your whole backyard could be ripped up in short order if you knew that the treasure was buried there. And something, it's one thing if someone tells you a treasure and it's on the other side of the world, you say, well, how could I even afford to get over there to get it? But when it's right close, where it's right under your nose, you would say, I'm going to make the effort to find that and get that. But it's something we want to realize for us as believers, that we have a treasure that is greater than all the riches of the world right under our noses. That we have, God has His sound wisdom laid up for us as His people. And yet sometimes when we're informed of that, we find it difficult to get ourselves motivated to really take the time to unearth the abundant riches that God has laid up for us in plain sight. And so we ask, where is God's storehouse of wisdom? We realize that God's storehouse of wisdom is right here in His Word. That it offers us so much that the words of God are the words of life and health and peace to us. But it's something that we have to study it. We have to compare Scripture with Scripture so that we can understand it. That there's many things that are hard to be understood. Things that can be confusing if we don't take the time to really study it out and figure things out. And God wants us to He's given it to us by divine inspiration so that we can have it. And it is something that we need to start digging within God's Word and find all that it offers to us. In Psalm 19, we see these words, and all of these are speaking of God's Word, of course. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. We say, first of all, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And that's what we realize when we first heard the gospel is given to us from God's Word, that we, as we believe in it, it transformed us, it converted us to the gospel. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And we realize that as we study God's Word, that we start out, as we're young, very simple, and especially as we first get saved, we're baby Christians and we don't know really what's right, what's wrong, or anything. But as we study God's Word, it makes us wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That when there's times that things are bad, that we can look into God's Word and it can give us cause to rejoice even in the midst of difficulty or sorrow. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That in this world where the devil is seeking to keep us all in darkness and deception, that God's Word can light our path and show us the way through some of these dark times and confusing situations. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That we know that God's Word lasts, that we can trust it and cling to it no matter what. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That they are, we know that they will lead us well, that they're not deceitful, they're not going to turn us away from what is right. And it says of them, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And so it is that thought that God's Word has so much for us. It is a treasure trove of God's wisdom. And so for us as Christians, when we take time with God's Word, it should never be something where it just becomes kind of this box that we need to check off, where it's like, oh yeah, a good Christian should read his Bible every day, and we read it for 10 minutes, a few chapters, we don't make any sense of what we've really read, we put it down and we go on our day, and then wonder why we're still struggling, wonder why it doesn't have power in our life. It's because we haven't done any digging. And God wants us to get into His Word. That it's kind of the thing that you think back at times maybe in the past where between you and your spouse, as you were just getting to know each other, that you'd write each other letters, and it wasn't something when you got that letter that you would just kind of read it quickly, speed read it, and put it away and never look at it again. It was something that, no, you would read it probably two or three or four times, and there'd be different things that might really stick out that meant a lot to you. And we realize God's Word is His love letter to us, and so we want to take the time to read it and reread it and think about it. If there's words that we don't understand, that we get a dictionary and find out what it means. We get maybe a concordance so that we can compare it with other verses and try to get the whole mind of God on various matters. That's what God wants us to do, and that's what we should be excited to do. It's just sort of every day, it's like when we take God's Word in our hand, it's like we get to be treasure hunters. That we get to discover what blessing does God have for me today? What great truth can be life-changing to me today? How can I find God has something for me, or He has something that I can give to someone else that can be a real help? That it's all there waiting for me. And so we need to have that motivation. And realize that this is important. This can help me. This can help others. And so we need to apply our heart to wisdom and seeking that wisdom in God's Word. And so if we do want to grow in the Lord, if we want our hearts healed and transformed by God's power, we need to get into God's Word. It is the words of life, and they give life as they become part of our life. We need to take the time to study God's Word. We need to be praying to seek God's help and understanding. That sometimes it might be a verse or a portion of a verse that doesn't make sense to us, but it seems to stick out. That maybe we meditate on that all through the day and try to figure out, what does this mean? And asking God's help. There's different verses that I think all of us have maybe found that where we've thought about it and thought about it, and all of a sudden it just seems, oh, this is what this means. This makes sense to me now. And that we're willing to do that. And we're willing to make use of whatever resources we may have at our disposal to grasp its truth. It can be, there might be someone we can ask that might know. That might be a concordance we could use, or a dictionary, or whatever it might be. But it's the idea that if we're, the whole kind of phrasing that we see in Proverbs chapter 2 is that there's this effort, this determination, this focus, that it's kind of the whole idea is that, and really the way that we understand God's work of sanctification, it isn't us striving to change ourselves. It's God's doing the work of transforming us. But it's the idea that we're seeking God through His Word, and we're allowing His Word to transform us as it becomes part of our life. But we need to know it so it can do its work. And we realize through the Scriptures, God blesses persistence. He speaks of the whole idea of importunity, of as we pray that we're to ask and seek and knock. And it's the idea that we need to be persistent in the pursuit of wisdom, that we're not going to rest until we find God's truth and what we need. When we're struggling with doubt, with worry, with despair, that we say, the Lord has an answer for me. He has a truth I can cling to that's going to help me through this difficult time. That we don't rest till we find it, because we know that it's there. But as we think of this, we realize too that there is a very important truth that we need to understand in this thought of applying our hearts to wisdom, seeking His truth. Because just knowing God's wisdom is not enough. And that's the thought. We can apply our minds to wisdom, and we can have a head knowledge of right and wrong, that wisdom and foolishness. But if that's all we have, that's not going to help us in the way that we need. That it's kind of the sad thing is that we can focus on becoming in many ways great theologians, where we know God's word, we study it, we can memorize it, we can repeat it. But the whole idea, if we do that, it's sort of like if we were to get our prescription from a doctor and we read all the instructions on the bottle and we can recite those from memory, but if we never actually unscrew the bottle and take the medicine, it's not going to do us any good. We must not simply apply our minds to wisdom. We have to apply our hearts. We must put what God reveals to us into practice. And Psalm 110 and verse 10, or 111 verse 10 rather, it says, Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. As a thought, we must not simply know God's commandments. If we're to have true understanding, we have to do God's commandments. And wisdom, true wisdom, really begins with fearing the Lord, with having an awe and respect of Him that motivates us to put into practice what He says for us to do. That because He is our God, because He has authority over our lives, we need to do what He says. For our good, for our own self-preservation in many ways. We think in Job chapter 28 and verse 28. Unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And as you go through Proverbs, you'll see that connection. You have the fear of the Lord, you have the beginning of wisdom, and you have departing from evil, that they're all connected. If we fear the Lord, we are going to depart from evil. When He says, stop doing this, we're going to say, okay, I need to stop that. That if God is against it, I'm against that too. But if He said, this is something I want you to do, then we say, yes, I need to do that. I'm going to put it into practice because He is God and He has a reason for this, and out of respect for Him, I need to do what He wants me to do. And so it is by the fear of the Lord that we depart from evil. And it's when we make that conscious decision, that conscious determination to depart from evil, that's when we're showing that we're beginning to gain wisdom. Because honestly, if we learn what is the will of the Almighty God for our lives, the one in whom our breath is in His hands, but we keep doing what we know that He hates, we know that would be very foolish. We understand that. That would be like poking a bear with a stick. It's not a wise thing to do. And yes, He's benevolent and compassionate and long-suffering, but we realize if we're going to get the help that we need, the help He's trying to give us in life, we need to do what He says. And obey step by step. He convicts us of something. He shows us the steps we need to take. We confess. We repent. We go in the path that He says, out of love for Him, out of respect and fear for Him. That when we start making those changes in our life based on what His Word says, it indicates that we have truly applied our hearts to God's wisdom. And we see in Proverbs 14, verses 25 and 26, or 26 and 27 rather, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And it's that thought, if we want to have strong confidence in life, where we don't need to fear that we can be calm and at peace even though we might be in the midst of the storm. If we want to have a place of refuge from the storms and the challenges of life, if we want to escape the snares of the devil and not continually fall into them, if we want to have the abundant life that God promises us, we need to fear the Lord and apply our hearts to wisdom. And it's the principle we looked at last week, that as we obey God's commands, God fulfills His promises to us. that come with those commands, that he wants to bless us. And so we have to do as he says. And so it's a thought as we start on this whole idea of following God's prescription and understanding that he's going to do a work in and through us as we follow what he says for us to do. It starts as we seek God and his wisdom through his word. It starts as we apply our hearts to the pursuit of his wisdom, that it becomes our focus, that we don't allow ourselves to be distracted, that we look at God's word for the storehouse of wisdom and life that it is, and we wake up each day as treasure hunters, where we say, I want to dig into this. I want to find everything that God has for me. I'm not going to be satisfied with finding just a few trinkets. I want to get to find the great riches that are there. That as we do that and as we start applying it to our hearts, we start saying, okay, this I have to put into practice. I need the Lord's help in doing this. And we realize that his word has the power to transform and heal our hearts. But it's not going to do that if it remains a closed book, if it's a still buried treasure. We're going to miss out if we don't start to dig into its depths. And so let us as his people be people of the book. Let us delight in his word. Let us study it. Let us meditate in it day and night. And let us apply our hearts to its wisdom so that its truth may transform us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. And we just pray, Lord, that we would apply our hearts to wisdom. We have focus and attention for many things that we recognize don't really matter in this world. But we pray that you would teach us that we would have the attention that we need to give to your word. That there is so much within it that you have stored up for us, that you want to share with us, but if we don't put in the effort to seek it out, it'll remain hidden from us. And so just, Lord, just strengthen our hearts that we may seek your word as we ought to, so that you can do your work through your word, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one last hymn, number 376.